Gabby just leaned over to me and said, sometimes she feels like it's karaoke night, Sunday nights. And then preaching's amateur night, so praise the Lord, amen. Amen. Hey, I'd rather have it here than out in the world, trying to stand up in front of a crowd like he was talking about comedians and how filthy they are. I'm glad I don't have to run with people like that. Amen. I don't have to impress people like that. You don't have to impress anybody, but I'm glad we're not going that way. And I've definitely made a fool of myself singing karaoke, and I'm glad I ain't doing that mess no more, amen. Yeah, amen. Be a fool for Jesus. I'll tell you one thing. I appreciated the singing last weekend in the mall. And when I was in Bible school, and we've even done it here out on the street, sometimes I'll just take a hymn out there, a hymn book, yeah, and just stand out there and sing. And they all look at you crossways and everything else. And I know I'm out of key, and I ain't no good singer. But, man, it's like serenading the fishes. We used to, when I lived in the world, we'd go fishing. We'd be out there singing and have music playing and everything else. And all of a sudden, we start catching fish. And then we kept trying it, and that thing worked. There was something to that thing. And so I was out there last weekend, and you all were singing, and I got a blessing from it, and folks were getting a blessing from it. And that's exactly what I told Brother David and Brother Jesse. It's like we're out there serenading the fish. That's right. And you never know. There's some good things that came out of it, and you don't know what's going to come out of the tracks that went out. And so praise the Lord for what we have, folks. We got something powerful. The Holy Spirit of God's behind this book that we preach, and it's behind the songs that we sing. It's not some fleshly mumbo jumbo that the world tries to keep up with. And I'm glad that we don't have to try to keep up with that mess, because it changes all the time, and we've got something that stays the same. It's consistent, and I thank God for that. All right, if you would turn to Romans chapter 8 tonight. Romans chapter 8, and this is wild, folks. I mean, maybe you'll see a little bit of connection with what preacher's been preaching about. And I didn't pick this after he started preaching. I've had this kind of message on my heart for a while now. Amen. And so it's no mistake. I believe God puts things together like that all the time. And it's the Bible. It's because we got this book, and we all have issues, and we all have things we got to get worked out in our lives. Amen. And so we're going to preach a little bit tonight about a topic that... I mean, it's we all know it. Most of us in this church here know it already, and but it's serious. It's very serious, and we shouldn't take it light. But before we begin, Brother Squeaky, why don't you pray for us?
Amen. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity tonight in your house.
Amen.
Lord, I pray you'll be with my brother Ryan.
Amen.
God, place your holy unction upon him.
Amen.
And God, remove all of his thoughts, all of his ways, God.
Amen. Amen.
Help him. God, I pray the folks that are here tonight, came to get something.
Amen.
And they could carry them through the rest of this week. Give them something to talk about tomorrow, besides the football game, basketball game, or something like
Amen,
that.
Amen, Lord.
God, give us something to talk about you.
Amen.
And thank you and love you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've been in the book of Romans in Sunday school. And something Brother Eddie said about 2 weeks ago, he's been teaching Romans chapter 12. A lot of times in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, even though there's chapter headings and verse markings, that doesn't mean that the thought from the previous chapter hasn't finished. Right. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. But if you don't know, Romans chapter 7 talks about the two natures of a Christian. And folks, when I was born again, my spirit in me, the Holy Spirit of God, came inside of me and revived my dead spirit. You have a spirit of man, and there's this Holy Spirit, and then there's unclean spirits. And my flesh was on its, and my soul was on its way to hell. But when the Holy Spirit of God came inside me, he cut my soul away from my flesh. And now I'm sealed to the day of redemption. Amen. Because of the Holy Spirit of God and because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross.
Amen.
And that's the operation it talks about in Colossians chapter 2. And I'm not trying to, show any kind of great knowledge or anything. That's Bible. That's basic right. Bible doctrine.
Amen.
Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And number one, it's profitable for doctrine.
Amen.
The first application of scripture is doctrine. You ought to know what you believe.
Yeah.
And what you believe matters.
Amen.
It determines how you act in your life. And doctrine is crucial. And the rest of that verse says it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, or for instruction in righteousness, I should say. And the scripture, all throughout the whole thing, is profitable for those, for you. It's profitable for all of us, the entire Bible. Now, obviously, there's differences in the New Testament and the Old Testament, and then we teach dispensations here, and there's different times when God dispenses different things to different people. That's the most simple way to do it. But Romans chapter 7, Paul, he's preaching, and he's talking about how that in his flesh he finds no good thing. Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived, said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. That's crazy. That's pretty wild. Thinking that fellow who did all that he did for God, he still says, in this body right here dwells no good thing. I mean, is it true? Yeah, it's true. We know it's true. But that might throw someone off. You know, what the Holy Spirit, you say the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside you. How can you sin that way? You got a soul, and your soul has been separated from this flesh, and this flesh is able to do what it could do as a lost man. And that's just how it is. And if you read Romans chapter 7, you'll see that. But let's read Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. No condemnation if you're in Jesus Christ anymore. But the rest of the verse says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And unfortunately, in this day and age, and all throughout all history, you can find some Christian who was walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit.
Right.
And that's a folly, and that's an error. But even more so, as time goes on, and as we get into the end times, we're in the end times, more and more Christians are walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. And folks, it's not going to end well for that person in this life. It's not going to end well for you if you keep walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. The Bible says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Bearing witness to it. Amen.
Amen.
Got a little music. It's like those emotional videos or whatever. They got music playing behind the guy speaking or whatever. Amen. Yeah, karaoke, all right. Woo! All right, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's tons of laws in the Bible. And the law of Jesus Christ, it says there, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus said, if the Son of Man should make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
And folks, you and I, if you're saved in here tonight, you've been set free from the chain of sin.
Amen.
You've been set free from the law of this flesh. Even though we're still in it. I know it sounds contradictory, but it's not. And we're going to get into it a little bit. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ knows he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And we've heard it through the pastor and through teaching in Sunday school. You're going to be tempted in three main areas, and that's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three main temptations you're always going to face. And of course, it's diverse now how it's just exploded and how crazy it is. But you're going to be tempted in three main areas for the rest of your days. So you might as well just get determined in your mind, like he's been preaching about, that you're not going to cave into it. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Notice this, for to be carnally minded is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's the enemy of God. The carnal mind is the enemy of God. And as you as a child of God can be not become his enemy, but the way you act, if you succumb to the flesh, you're like you're helping the enemy.
Right.
Christians help the enemy. You give in to the flesh.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but thank the Lord for this verse, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It should be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. All right, I just want to give you that real quick as kind of a background when I'm going to preach. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And I hope you kind of understand what I was getting at. You have two natures. That's basically what it boils down to. If you're saved and here tonight, you have two natures, and you can either live after the flesh, you can live after the Spirit. And it mentioned right there in Romans chapter 8, about the carnal mind and how that it's enmity against God. And the carnal mind can be implemented in you, Christian, whether you realize it or not or whether you believe it or not. You can succumb to the carnal mind and you can feed that thing and it's just going to turn into a monster if you let it. All right, so look in Mark chapter 10. This is something a little different here, but I'm going to preach on the thought of what carnal Christians lack. And I want you to notice what Jesus Christ says. A young man comes to him. Let's read in verse 17. Mark 10 and verse 17 says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.'" I always like to pay attention when Jesus answers somebody in the Gospels. He's always, 9 times out of 10, he's sarcastic. And I kind of like that, you know. All these fake Christians who talk about having a mean spirit and how Jesus Christ, man, he was pretty rough at times. He was pointed a lot of times in the Bible. And if you don't believe that, you need to read the Bible. You need to pay attention to what he said. I'm not saying that you got to go around and be rude and crude and pointed all the time. But that, you know, it's not some fairy tale, fairyland, fake Christianity that the world has. You watch the junk that's on TV, that's not Christianity. There are great big concerts that they have and everybody lighting lighters and singing to the rock and roll band. That ain't Christianity, folks. And I know folks look at that stuff time to time. And those preachers you watch on there, they are just after your money and they ain't worth listening to and you need to get off of it. And I know people watch it all the time. You shouldn't. But look what Jesus said. "And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness.'" Has any of that hit you yet? I mean, I know it has, but, you know, somebody might hear, "Do not commit adultery." Well, thank God, I've never committed adultery. But you know what Jesus said. He said, "If a man looks after a woman, lusts after in his heart, he's committed adultery already." Somebody might say, "Do not kill." Well, thank God, I've never killed anybody. And you think you're off the hook, but you're not. Bible says if you hate your brother, you're just as bad as a murderer.
That's right.
Bible says do not steal. If you steal time, if you steal a pack of gum, you've stolen. That's all there is to it.
Amen.
Bible says do not bear false witness. You've lied, and you know you have. A lot of you guys lie to God all the time.
Right.
Christians lie to God all the time, and that's the truth. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then, look, this is the verse I'm going to preach on. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest.'" And I wanted to bring the thought of what carnal Christians lack. And I don't know where you are in your Christian walk, but like I said, no matter how far you've come, I don't care if you've been to Bible school. I don't care how many times you've read your Bible. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how many souls you've won on the street. You are going to fight your flesh the day you die. And you can go far and do great things for God and still succumb to that flesh and that carnal mind. So just because you think you're right with God right now, you better take heed, because that doesn't mean you're going to be like that in 5 years.
Right.
One little thing can throw you off, fella. You can go right down the wrong track if you let it.
That's right.
And that's all depends on your fellowship with God.
Right.
And look what he said. He said, "One thing thou lackest." And I'm going to preach a little bit on that thing. And one thing I know for sure, I can stand without a doubt, I believe with all my heart that every person in here can fall into some of these things. Maybe some of these things won't hit you, but I'm here to tell you right now that people in this room certainly lack this one thing, or they have lacked in times. And I'm going to tell you right now, first point I want to say, Christians, carnal Christians, lack a sincere fear of God. And the Bible commands us to fear God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 18 says there is no fear of God before their eyes. And it's prevalent in Christianity today. Bible says in Job 28:28, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Now, you might have wisdom in this world, but a lot of men don't have understanding how it relates to God.
That's right, amen.
That's a folly, folks. If you want to be wise in this world, it might take you to a certain point, but if you don't understand how that relates to God in this life, you're missing the whole point. Everything you do is supposed to be unto God.
Amen.
Everything you do. Whether you're turning a wrench or whether you're driving a truck, it don't matter what you're doing. If you're feeding the kids at the house, it's for the glory of God.
Amen.
That's what it's supposed to be for.
Amen.
And you lack a sincere fear of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction."
Amen.
Somebody will come in and hear preaching about the fear of God, and they'll say, "What a fool. What's he talking about?" That's foreign from Christians today. From worldly Christianity, fearing God, He loves me, and he does love you. But you know what? I'm a young father, and my girls are still young, but I want them to respect me. And when I want them to respect me, I mean, they better fear me. I kind of understand, not that I'm going to be mean and bash my kids and be mean and wicked toward them, but they need to understand that there's an authority. And if you step out of line, there's consequences. And too many Christians step out of line, and you just don't realize it. I know you don't. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There's that understanding again. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Something that I'm ashamed of. As being saved, there have been times where I've heard something that's not right. It might not have been totally completely filthy, but it just wasn't right, and I've smirked at it, and I laughed at it. That ain't right. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And too many folks let things slide. The things you watch on television, the things you listen to, the movies you watch, you don't hate evil. You don't see it for what it is. And it's poison in your mind. Proverbs 15:33, have you had enough yet? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We need instruction in our lives. I don't care how far you think you've come. I need a whole lot of instruction. Daily I need God on my back telling me what's right and what's wrong. He said, don't be like the mule or the horse that needs a bridle to turn which way it goes. But man, that's me. I'm just a dummy. And I need God to instruct me, and I want him to instruct me. But you need to fear God so that you can take his instruction. The wisest man on this earth said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You better fear God. You say, well, there's all Old Testament. New Testament says in Philippians chapter 2, Paul told those Christians to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How about you folks that have been doing right, or you think you have anyway, and you still get behind other people's back and cut people down?
Yeah,
where's the grace?
Amen.
Where's the grace? Where's the grace, brother?
Amen.
You're going to talk about other people in church, and you think you're right with God?
Amen,
where's the fear? There's no fear if you're going to go blabbing your mouth on Facebook about other folks.
Yeah.
If you're going to go blabbing your mouth in your house behind closed doors, if you're going to run the preacher down,
Amen,
you know how prevalent that is in Christianity? They always run the preacher down when they're always trying to do is help you. You don't fear God like you ought to.
Amen.
Where's your grace? Talk about grace all the time. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I like this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Amen.
You better fear God, folks. And he's preached a message. I'll never forget when he preached the message. When you fear God right, you love God right.
That's right. Amen.
It goes hand in hand. A false balance is abomination to God. If all you're going after is love, 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 and it's a perverted false love, it's not scriptural, then you don't have right love.
Amen.
If you don't have the fear of God, you don't have the love of God.
Right.
You better hate what God hates, and you better love what he loves.
Amen.
And the Bible tells you that.
Right.
And too many folks just turn their back on the scripture. You'll just write off the preacher. He's just a loud, stubborn fool. He don't know what he's talking about. Well, help yourself.
Amen.
Bible, let's see here. Number two, here's another thing carnal Christians lack. And don't worry, folks. I'm not going to just bash you the whole time. And I'm not up here to bash. I hate that comes out. And that's not what it's about, folks.
Amen.
This is hitting me just like anybody else.
Amen.
This folks, this message, the Lord gave me this stuff when I was in Bible school. And I preached it one time, put it away, and then it came back out all of a sudden. The Lord laid this back on my heart just about 3 weeks ago. And so I'm ready to preach it. Carnal Christians lack a sincere fear of God. Something else, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Preacher was pulling up all these scriptures this morning, and I knew the Lord wanted this to be preached. Something else carnal Christian lacks. Spiritual discernment.
Amen.
These first three points I'm going to preach to you, I'd say they're the main things that Christians lack in this life.
Amen.
There have been times everyone in here has not had a sincere fear of God.
Right.
That's why when the Holy Spirit of God convicted you of something you were doing wrong, you went ahead and did it anyway. You didn't fear God. That wasn't the fear of God. You went ahead and did your own thing. All right, something else you lack. You know why you don't have fear of God like you ought to? Because you lack spiritual discernment. What's that mean? Bible says in verse 5 of this chapter that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Too many times we'll go with what Mama or Papa told us. We'll go with what so-and-so says. We'll go with what Dr. Phil says on the television. We'll go with what my girlfriend said. What, you know, they work for them. It's going to work for me, right? No, you're going to go by somebody else's instruction and not the instruction of the Word of God. You're going to go by your own instruction, whatever comes out of your pea brain. That ain't going to work out too well. Raising kids on my own accord? Yeah, right, man. They'd be worthless. They'd be done for. If I let my kids grow up just and not try to give them any instruction from the Word of God and go by my own intellect, man, it's going to be a sad, they're going to be a sad case one day. And you talk about everything that you do in this life, you need to get some spiritual discernment. And the only way you're going to get spiritual discernment is by pay attention to what God says in His Word. Reading these words and applying them. It's one thing if you read them. We talk about how many times we read our Bibles, but how many times have you applied it? Amen? How many times have you applied the Word of God? Look in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of the world, Christian, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. You see that? That's discernment, spiritual discernment. What's God got to say about a thing? Not what anybody else says. What's God got to say about it? Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And here it is. You have the mind of Christ, folks. You have no excuse. You can't say, well, I don't know. You got it right here. You got a pastor to help you. You say, well, preacher, I'm having this problem, and where can I, instead of saying, how can I fix it, say, where in the Bible can I find something on my problem that I have? Amen. That'll help you. That'll help you. More than just trying to get a Band-Aid put on whatever your issue is, say, where can I find this in the Scripture, and read it, and find it, and try to fix it. You need God's help. Believe me, you can't do it on your own. You're going to need God's help. But if you get some light from God's Word on a thing, that'll take you so much further. 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. You're going to just go on through this life believing every little thing. You're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. That's going to be your problem. And when you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat and you have to give an account of your life, and you're going to tell him all these things, well, my daddy did it this way, my grandmommy did it this way, my teacher did it this way, he's going to say, what about my way? Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. It's not a great mystery, folks. I don't believe it's easy. I wouldn't say it's easy. I wouldn't say living the Christian life's easy. This is what I always say. Somebody told me when I was a kid, and you can think this is dumb all you want, but somebody said, if anybody tells you that anything's easy, punch them in the mouth. Because there ain't nothing easy. There are things that are simple in theory, but it doesn't mean that it's easy to accomplish. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it makes perfect sense to me. The Christian life is simple. It's simple. God's given us everything we need to live the Christian life. But we make it hard. We make it way harder than it needs to be. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, and look at verse 12. Talking about spiritual discernment. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. How many times have you heard some of these things that the preacher gets up? He has to get up and preach the same thing over and over and over and over again. And that's how it is for me too. But man, don't you want to get out of that rut? Don't you want to get out of the same old routine of the filth of the flesh and just the junk of this world? Don't you want to get out of it? I want to get out of it sometimes. I want to get out of it. I know that once you get in that flesh, man, and once you get in sin, you like wallowing in it for a little while. But man, something's got to give.
That's right.
Just like that prodigal, it says he came to himself. Amen. Here he is feeding among all these swine and all these hogs. And he, you know what? The Bible says he came to himself. Thank God that that happened in my life, man. And thank God it happened in your life.
Amen.
And if you keep just feeding with the hogs, there's a preacher who used to sing a song, Brother Leek. He said, one more night with them stinking frogs. One more night in sin, you just keep going right back to them stinking frogs. It's some carnal Christians that can't help themselves. They just keep going right back to the same old filth. And you can't help it. The Bible says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so doth a fool to his folly. Just like a dog lapping up vomit, that's how some Christians act with their sin. And that's how man, in general, a lost man acts. He just keeps going right back to the same old thing that's been destroying him. And he doesn't have the discernment to see that he needs to get out of that cycle. He don't see it. And Christians get blind to that thing. And then what a shame that is. You got the Spirit of God living inside of you. You can't see it. You got a problem.
Amen,
you need some spiritual discernment. It says, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk. You become a baby again. And not a strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Just a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. And folks, if you are newly saved, man, we expect that. But you've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you haven't grown. Nothing's changed in your life. What in the world's the matter?
Amen.
It ain't God. It ain't his word. It's you.
Amen.
You've decided to go against God. You've decided to not grow. It's your problem. But God will help you if you'll admit it.
Amen.
If you'll just give yourself to the Lord. And one, if you desire the problem to be fixed, he'll help you. He'll help you. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I don't understand how some Christians don't see the movies they watch are filthy. If you're watching vampires and werewolves and everything else and you don't think that that's wrong, what's wrong with you? Something's wrong. And parent, if you're letting your kids watch that stuff, take it, throw it out. That's all you got to do. It goes with anything. It goes with anything that ain't right. If it's right, do it. If it's wrong, don't. But so many Christians, they lack the understanding. They don't see that it's wrong. And I know some folks ride that thing and ride Santa Claus and everything else. I know he's a fake. But you study the history of all that stuff.
Yeah.
That'll help you understand why some people are hardcore against
right.
it.
Amen, brother.
Because it's Catholic and it's got even other pagan things behind it.
Right.
And people just say, well, it's innocent, it's cute, it's whatever. Okay, well, help yourself. Help yourself is all I got to say. You just don't see that it ain't right.
Amen.
It's not right. And you say, well, that's just, man, that's crude and we don't have to go that far. We don't have to be that extreme. Fine, help yourself. I can't help somebody that doesn't, it's not what I say, it's what the Word of God says.
Right,
and, you know, it's up to you. It's up to you what you do.
Amen.
Something else this Christian lacks, this carnal Christian lacks, submit it to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Submit it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And a big thing that a Christian, the reason why, again, they lack spiritual discernment is because they don't read the Bible and they don't believe the Bible. And what you need to do, you need to submit. I don't care how many times you read through it again. I don't care if you're faithful reading that thing 45 minutes every day or whatever your schedule is. It doesn't matter. It matters is how many times you apply it. It really does. I'm convinced of that in my life now. I don't care how many times I've read through it. What am I going to take from here and apply?
Amen, brother.
That's what's important.
Amen.
And every last Christian in here needs to submit to the Word of God. Look in James chapter 4 and verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth envy? That's your old spirit. That's the spirit of this world. It lusteth the envy. But, thank God for this, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Some folks, listen to somebody ramble on about fighting against the things of this world. They just write you off, say, that stinking preacher, he don't know what he's talking about. It says right there, humble yourselves. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. It ain't submitting to me. It ain't submitting to him. It ain't submitting to other people around you. It's submitting to God. Amen. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and so on and so forth. Look in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. If you just humble yourself, Christian, young Christian, I know you want to go on with your life and do what you want to do, but what does God want for you? In your daily life, apply it. You need to apply what you're taught in this life. Humble yourself. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Every Christian in here needs to submit to the Word of God, and every Christian needs to submit to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. Now, there are times when you might not have a Bible on you, but if you're about to go set yourself to do something, and that Holy Spirit of God tells you in your head, you better shouldn't do this. This ain't right. Amen. You better not. And usually, most times, it's a little small voice just like that. This ain't right. You better get out of here. Amen. Don't do this. Amen. How many times have you sinned against that thing? Right. You've had that thing come in your head, and you just keep going after that thing no matter what. That little voice that comes in your head, it's the Spirit of God. The devil's not going to get in you. The devil will come up to you real soft and subtle like that too. But the Spirit of God's going to do it in a way to try to help you. Amen. And when you get that thing and you know it, that you're setting, you have it in your heart to do something wrong, and the Spirit of God's saying, don't do it. Get out. Get out. Don't do it. And you don't give in to that thing, you're not submitting to the Spirit of God. You need to submit. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You can roll your eyes all you want to authority, but you need to humble yourselves. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you think it's hard to do right, to live in this Christian life, cast your care upon Jesus Christ. Cast it on him. Say, Lord, I'm having a hard time. Just be straight up with him. Amen. Just put your hands up. Say, Lord, I'm having a hard time with this flesh. I'm having a hard time doing what you want me to do. I want to do right. Will you please help me? Amen. I guarantee he'll pull through for you.
Work.
He'll give you something. I can remember one time I was working down in Bible school, and I wanted to make it to prayer meeting. I was dedicated. I wanted to be in prayer meeting. I didn't want to miss church. But here I am, I'm working, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I was late, and it was probably 7, it was 7 o'clock, and I was about an hour away from the church, maybe less. So I broke the law, and I sped all the way there, but I was so mad, I was angry. I said, God, I want to go to church. I need to be in church. You say, well, that's simple, that's stupid. You should have just, I did my job, and I did it right, but I rushed on, and I was having a battle. A spiritual battle was going on, and I needed to get in church, and you know, as soon as I got there, that singing man, I don't know if you've ever been down there in Bible Baptist Church, but you walk into that church and they got that orchestra and that singing, and you get in there and you feel the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, that flipped everything that was going sour and wrong in my life just turned right around. And I was able to stand in there and glorify God. You need to submit to the Spirit of God, folks. You need to submit to the Scriptures. The Bible gives us instruction. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 on a practical level. It talks about submitting. The Christian life is all about submitting. Somebody asked me, how do you go on in the Christian life? You got to submit. Amen. That's all there is to it. Submit. Verse 22, Ephesians 5, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen. I know that's got to God bless her.
Amen.
But folks, lady, I don't care if your husband's a deadbeat or not. If he's doing right, you got to submit to him.
Amen.
And even if he's not doing right, you need to submit to him.
Amen.
Not that you have to do wicked.
That's right.
God won't ever have you do wicked.
Right.
That ain't right. If your husband is living wrong and you're trying to do right and he's trying to get you to do something wrong, you do not have to give in to that.
That's right.
You do not. The Bible's clear. We ought to obey God rather than the men.
That's right.
And God will give you a clearance when it comes to something like that, if it's something wicked. If you choose to do wicked, it's your fault. And why? But you're supposed to submit yourselves. And you know what? You can be a quaint, quiet Christian wife, but behind the scenes, buddy, I know that there's a bunch of them that are just poof, like a serpent. And God have mercy on you. God have mercy on you. If you're behind closed doors and you're not submitting to your own husband as unto the Lord, you better submit. Amen. You need to submit to your husband. Amen. Children,
yeah.
Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I don't care how smart you think you are.
Right.
I don't care if you're a senior in high school. You need to obey your parents.
Amen.
And you need to submit to them.
Amen.
And you can smirk and laugh all you want. But I'm here to tell you, it's not going to work out well for you if you keep disrespecting your parents.
Amen.
Bible says, honor thy father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise.
Right.
God's got a promise for you.
Right.
You want to disobey your parents? You want to dishonor your parents? He's got a promise for you. Bible says, if you do it, you'll live long on the earth.
That's right.
I know it's in every teen. It was in me. It's in you teens here tonight. It's in every teen. It's in you to just do your own thing because you think you're smart.
Yeah.
You think you got it. And I understand. But you better take heed to what what our pastor has been teaching us,
Amen.
What he's been preaching to us. You better take heed to what the Word of God says. No matter what you think, if you think your mom's wrong, you think your dad's wrong, Bible says obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Amen.
God said it's right.
That's right.
What are you going to do about that? You're just fighting God is what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're not submitting to God if you're not submitting to your parents.
Amen.
What else we got here? It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. How about on the job? Christian?
Amen.
A lot of Christians are sorry when it comes to work, and that's a shame. That's a crying shame. If you're going to have that kind of testimony in the world that you're going to slouch on the clock, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
Bible says how's it go? Man, what is that verse? It's required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. If God's given you a job, you better thank God for it and you better do it with all your might. Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it wholly, heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. You're supposed to do everything in this life like it's for the Lord.
Amen.
One of the greatest compliments I ever got, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I didn't know it was going to come. I wasn't trying to get kudos, but just a couple months ago when I was in Pensacola, we were redoing this guy's bathroom, and it was a black couple, and the one fellow said, I like Ryan. He comes in. He's working as under the Lord. He told my boss that. And I thought that was a great compliment. I didn't know that. I wasn't trying to impress him. I was just doing my job.
Amen.
I was doing the best I could with what I had. And that
fellow
said he's working as under the Lord. And he told my boss that. And that's a testimony to a lost man.
Amen.
That this fellow, he's working for God. He ain't working for you.
Amen.
I mean, I am. I'm going to submit myself to your rules. But I'm working as if I'm doing something for God right here.
Right.
Every air conditioning unit I put in, I'm doing it for God.
Amen.
I'm not going to cut corners the best of my ability. Amen. But I'm trying to do everything I can for God. As if it's for him.
Amen.
And he's pleased with that, folks.
That's right.
And you need to submit yourself on the job, Christian. Don't be hiding in the bathroom reading your Bible.
Amen.
Read your Bible in your own time.
That's right.
I gave that excuse one time in Bible school, and it's true. I was up till 1 o'clock reading my Bible, praying. I was trying to be real spiritual. But I was a half an hour late for work, and my boss said, Ryan, come on.
Amen.
Why are you late? I said, well, I was reading my Bible and praying till 1 in the morning. And a brother that goes to church with us, he said, that ain't no excuse, man.
Amen.
Amen. I needed that. It doesn't matter. God's given you a job. You better do it with all your might.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, look in verse 21. Here you go, folks. Church, submitting yourselves one to another. Look what it says, in the fear of God.
Amen.
I don't care what your personality is or what your personality is or where you come from. We're all supposed to submit to one another. Bible says esteem one another better than yourself.
Amen.
And if you just humble yourself like the scripture says and submit to what God's trying to do in everybody's life here, instead of being so selfish and full of yourself,
Amen.
And trying to get whatever you can for you, and realize that this building and this church is for everybody here and for the lost people out there,
Amen.
Then, man, I'm telling you, God will be pleased with that thing, and you'll see more things happen.
Amen.
Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
That thing is steeped in the Bible, that fear of God. And Christians, a carnal Christian, lacks submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
Something else the carnal Christian lacks, and we'll speed through the rest of these. Those first three, I'm guarantee you, those things, you're going to fight the rest of your life.
Right.
Doesn't matter how far you come. I fear God, spiritual discernment, knowing that something, whether it's of God or if it's of the devil, you got to discern that thing. And it's always going to come back. If, just like Brother Eddie said, if you get out of practice living a Christian life, you're going to get rusty. Amen. Man, if I went into a gym and tried to exercise, I'd definitely be rusty right now. Amen? It's a crying shame. But you know what? Too many folks are out there. You know, I'll get into that here in a second. But look at this. Something else a carnal Christian lacks. Separation from the world.
Amen.
And that comes with spiritual discernment as well. When you're able to discern if this is of God or if this is of the world, then you will separate yourself from those things of the world. Don't believe me? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the Bible. It's not me. It's the Bible.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 6. A great passage on separation.
Amen.
Look at verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straightening us, but are ye are straightened in your own bowels. The Corinthian church got right. If you didn't know the background of the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, in 1st Corinthians, there was some wickedness going on in the church, and Paul warned them about it. And in 2nd Corinthians, Paul is praising them and thanking God that they got some things right.
Amen.
And man, that's a great thing when you get things right in your life.
Amen.
He said, you're not straightening us, but you're straightened in your own bowels. You made the choice to do right. Now for a recompense of the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Verse 14, pay attention. Pay attention, folks.
Amen.
Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And too many Christians in this life, even in Bible-believing churches, have a hard time with that thing of separating.
Yeah. Right.
Now, Paul said it would be impossible to be completely separate. So you can be a holy roller and be as righteous in your own eyes as you want. You're not going to totally be taken out of this world until the rapture happens.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can put forth an effort to not give in to the filthy jokes, to not give in to the things of this world and the trends of this world. You don't have to give in to those things.
Amen.
There ain't nothing wrong with dressing nice, and I'm not against that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. A lot of folks need to dress a little. I know I do. I know I lack style and everything else, but that's not my concern. I could care less what I look like. I hate wearing a suit and a tie. I wish we could come in here just wearing jeans and t-shirts, man. I'd rather do that, and half the time I take my shoes off in the pew. I'd love to be running around here without my shoes on. And so wearing a tie, yeah, nobody else would appreciate that, but you know what, folks? You need to just, when you're working amongst worldly people, lost people, they ought to realize that there's something different about
Amen.
You.
Amen.
You got to be separate. And there's always going to be temptations. There's always going to be a pull on you to give in to their foolishness, to their filth. But you just got to separate. And
Amen.
They're going to think you're weird.
Right.
You're weird anyway.
Amen.
So get over it.
Amen.
You're weird anyway. So just get over it and be weird for God. Amen?
Amen.
Be weird for Jesus. And so I know a lot of folks, even people like to pick on teenagers and everything else, but even adults don't want to be thought of as weird or awkward. And
right.
I mean, they don't have as much a problem as teens and peer pressure and everything else. But even adults, they don't want to be thought of as, you know, I don't want to go to work. I don't want the guys around me that I work with think that I think that I'm more holy and righteous than them on my own accord. I like to say this: I ain't better than you. But I might be better off than you.
Amen.
I know I'm not better than you in this flesh, but I'm certainly better off if you're lost.
Right.
If you're lost, you're on your way to hell.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to heaven when I die.
Amen.
And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm certainly better off.
Amen.
And Christian, if you're living for the world and you're living after the flesh and somebody's trying to do right, the person who's trying to do right is better off than you.
Amen.
They got more joy. They got more peace. It ain't that they're better than you. See, the devil always puts that in your head. Oh, he thinks he's better than everybody. That's exactly what you go and do. You say, oh, he thinks he's better than everybody. No, man. There ain't nobody better than nobody in here.
That's right.
That's the truth. Some people are definitely better off, though.
Amen.
Some folks have more joy and more peace about what they're trying to do for the Lord. And, and then there's all the people over here that are just all confused and muddled. Which way do I go? And you're just like you're lost, man, in this Christian world. I know that you can be saved and just be running around in circles. One oar in the water, just going around in circles. Like a little circus, like the circus. That's how Christians are. Because of sin. That's why. Because of sin. And you need to separate from the world.
Amen.
Here's something else they lack, and I like this one. You men, pay attention to this. Some of you ladies might not appreciate this so much. I don't know. But we'll see. Carnal Christians, especially men, they lack a soldier-like mentality.
That's right.
They lack grit.
Yeah.
They lack salt. Jesus said, if the salt lost its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing. It's to be trodden under foot of men. If you lose your saltiness and you just become, and again, I know there's a stigma amongst some people and some Bible believers that they're rude and crude and everything else, but you know what? That helps me.
Amen.
And you know who I'm hardest on? Right here.
That's right. Amen.
I guarantee you I'm 10 times harder than this guy right here than I am on anybody else in this room.
Amen.
Before I cast some kind of judgmental pointing fingers at you, I guarantee you there's five right here.
Amen.
I promise you. And I know it's easy to butter yourself up first, but I'm telling you right now, you know what I got to do sometimes? Just shut your mouth, you big baby. You stinking maggot, you. Shut up.
Amen.
Do right. And sometimes, you know, men, you need to get that.
Yeah.
You're going to go crying to your mama and you're a grown man?
Yeah.
What's the matter with you? Amen. You need a soldier-like mentality. You got to realize you're in a battle.
That's right.
You can say this is rude and crude all you want. I'm talking to you men. You need to gird up your loins like a man, the Bible says. Gird up your loins like a man and do right. Preach the word.
Amen.
Witness to people. Live right.
Amen.
I realize there's an order in some things, and God's going to bless you as you grow. But if you just start out one step at a time, do right. Do right, do right. And then you start passing out tracks. Then you start witnessing. And then it's just, man, the Lord's going to use you.
Amen.
But you lack a soldier-like mentality. You don't realize there's people dying and going to hell around you. You don't realize that there's Christians that need encouragement around you.
Yeah.
You're just full of yourself. And you don't see that your comrades are falling off and dying.
That's right.
You don't pray. You don't pray.
Yeah.
You know, they there's that term prayer warrior. You don't have no prayer warrior if you're just always crying. You're always running back to the booze and the same old things as the weak and beggarly elements of this world.
That's right.
You keep going back to that thing. You lack a soldier-like mentality.
That's right.
And the Bible in the New Testament has a whole lot to say about soldiers.
Yeah.
The Christian life is a war. It's a warfare. The Lord is the name of war. The Lord is his name. Exodus chapter 15. And all through the New Testament, Paul likens the Christian life to soldiers and to warfare.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, you need a soldier-like mentality. I never joined the military, and I appreciate that kind of stuff, but I'm here to tell you right now, I would rather have that kind of training and mentality that some of those men have and use it for God than use it for this world.
Amen.
I would rather have that kind of mindset of what they drew into you and use it for God than for this world. I thank God that I didn't go.
Amen.
And the Lord put me where he put me. I would rather take that kind of mentality and use it for God any day of the week.
Amen.
Than going out and giving your body and your life for something that, you know, unfortunately, it's not going to amount to hill beans.
That's right.
You might do well in this life and you might get some kind of self-encouragement out of this life, but when it comes to what God said, if God told you to do it, okay. I know who I'm talking. I know you know. There's sons in here that are military. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just here to tell you, having a soldier-like mentality for the things of God is far more valuable than going out in this world and thinking you're some kind of tough guy, or if you're some kind of martial arts guy in this world and you're using it for yourself, for your own glory, or for some other thing other than what is for God, then you're going to miss out on some blessings from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Christian life is likened to three kinds of jobs. It's likened to number one, Christian, or a soldier. It's likened to soldier, being a paid soldier. It's likened to be a farmer, and it's likened to be a shepherd. That's the Christian life. If you're going to serve God faithfully, those three occupations, it's likened to the Christian life. Being a soldier, being a farmer, planting crops, and being a shepherd. because Christians are sheep. Amen. You need a soldier-like mentality, you men. And the Bible's got a whole lot to say about it, and that's lacking badly in this life. Am I a soldier of the cross? How's that song go? A follower of the Lamb. He said, should I be carried through the skies on flowery beds of ease while others sailed sailed through bloody seas? So many other people, I messed that all up, but so many other Christians. There's Christians today. I like reading, and I'm thankful for what I've read of martyrs of old, but you know what? There's Christians today in other parts of the world that are suffering, and man, they're soldiers. They're soldiers for Jesus Christ. And that's a big problem for a lot of us, folks. You know, the Bible says that the sin of Sodom was idleness and fullness of bread. And if that's not the same to American Christianity today, you're just idle and you're full of bread. You got everything you need, and you're just taking, just like you said, just taking it easy. I'm just going to kick back. I'm going to find the easiest route in this life, and I'm going to do everything as easy as possible. You're going to miss out on blessings from God, I'm here to tell you. You're going to miss out. Something else. I'm almost through. Something else a carnal Christian lacks is self-discipline. Amen. Scripture, prayer, witnessing, those things. When a thought comes in your mind and it's not right and God tells you to get it out and you don't do it, you let that thing grow and you let that thing flourish, whatever it is. A wicked thought against this brother, a wicked thought against that sister, and you let that thing grow and you don't cut that thing down. Amen. Bible says casting down imaginations. And you don't do that thing. You have no self-discipline. You just let things grow out of control. You let situations grow out of control, Christian. Shouldn't be that way. You need some self-discipline. Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's a whole list of things of in the last days. And one of those words is incontinent. And some of you older folks might know what that means. Incontinent, you can't control yourself. You can't hold back. And that's a problem in carnal Christians. You cannot control your mouth. You can't control your thoughts. You can't control your acts. And you need to learn some self-discipline. And I don't know how to do it other than submitting. I mean, it all goes back to the same few things, folks. Amen. Submit, and you'll learn some self-discipline. Amen. Here's something else. Carnal Christian lacks a saturation of the Spirit of God. Lacking the Spirit of God is right here in Ephesians chapter 5, for I've moved over, but it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's a command in the Bible, folks. God's commanded you to be filled with the Spirit of God. How do you do that? Read the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You want to be full of the Spirit of God? Fill yourself with the Word of God. You want to be full of the Spirit of God? You need to pray. Here's something. If you want to be full of the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. You want to stay filled up and have the joy and peace like he was talking about this morning? Don't grieve him. Amen. Don't grieve him. Amen. When God gives you a thought or he's trying to instruct you, don't rebel against that authority and that thought when the Holy Spirit's trying to deal with you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Carnal Christians lack a saturation of the Spirit of God, and you can tell it on people. I have lacked the Spirit of God. Man, God, Lord, have mercy. And I don't want that. There's nothing worse than just going through life dry. Amen. Just dry and bitter at everything. I know what that's like. Even as a saved person, I know what it's like. Just being bitter and everything's just dry. When your skin's all dried up, it tends to crack open and bleed more. Amen. Man, you need to be saturated with the Spirit of God. And, man, that's when you have the joy like our pastor has. You're saturated with the Spirit of God. And when no matter what's coming, you can stand up and shout and thank God. That's something great when you can do that. When you can hear a song, a good song, and shout it out in your house and have your kids standing there, they're looking up at you smiling and laughing. They don't know what you're shouting about and crying about. Man, that's a blessing when you're full of the Spirit of God. It says the washing of the water by the Word. You need a saturation of the Spirit of God, Christian. One last one, and then we'll see how we can combat this thing. One last thing carnal Christian lacks is a sense of urgency. Turn to Romans chapter 13. A sense of urgency. A sense of urgency. Time's getting short, folks. We're in the last days, and time is short. Romans 13. Romans 13, look in verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The Lord's coming back.
Amen.
The rapture's going to happen anytime. Last week, I was telling some people, I was sitting in a class during the day. I got to go to a class for work, and I was sitting in there, and the thought just came to me, like, I thought the rapture was going to happen. I was getting excited. At first, I was like, oh, Lord, I don't know if I'm ready. What a shame that was to think like that. But then I was like, I got out of it. I said, all right, let's go. And, you know, I got out to the truck. I gave everybody tracks. I got fired up. I said, Lord's coming back today. I want to go back doing right.
Amen.
I want to go with my boots on serving God. And the Lord did some things that day that was pretty wild to me. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord's coming back soon.
Amen.
You see it all around you. The signs are now appearing. The signs of the times, it's showing up. And Christian, if it ain't a better time for you to wake up and start serving God, you need a sense of urgency. It's urgent that you live for the Lord. It's urgent that you keep your fellowship right with God. And when you keep your fellowship right with the Lord Jesus Christ, everything else will fall into place. You'll see souls changed and saved around you. You'll see lives changed.
Amen.
You'll see when the Lord gets to use you, someone as filthy and as vile as you are and have been, you'll see how God gets to use you if you just
Amen.
Submit yourself to him.
That's right.
You need a sense of urgency, folks. Everybody in here needs a sense of urgency.
Amen.
It says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that's exactly what carnal Christians do. They'll provide for the flesh and just keep providing for the flesh and just keep providing for the flesh, and you don't provide for the spiritual things. You don't understand. You need a sense of urgency to walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. It's time to wake up, folks. I don't know how else to say it than what the Word of God says. The night is far spent. The night, it's almost over. It's almost morning. Sun's about, or it's getting to be midnight when the tribulation happens. The Lord's going to call us out of here right before hell breaks loose. He's going to call us out. The night is far spent. It's time to wake up. All right, turn back to Mark chapter 10. All right, now that was a bunch of things that I believe by the scripture that a carnal Christian lacks. And I'll say it again. I don't care how far you've come in this life, in this Christian life, you can just as easily go right back to that carnal mind
Amen.
As if you were lost. You can go back like that if you let it. You say, well, where's the hope? There's hope. You ready? Look in verse 21 again. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. So Jesus said, he gave him all those commandments and said, if you'll do this, you'll have eternal life. If you do that, you know, if you do this. You know, many Christians in this room say, well, I'm saved. I even come to church. I even read my Bible. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. I don't know what you're lacking in your Christian life. But look what he said. Look what Jesus said. One thing thou lackest. He started out with a negative first, by the way. One thing thou lackest. Jesus always responding sarcastically or some kind of pointed way. Then he said, go thy way. All right? If you've been falling to the carnal mind, if you, some of these things might apply to your life. If you're not fearing God like you ought to, if you don't have the spiritual discernment you should, if you're not submitting to God like you should, you need to go your way. You need to stop for a second and realize that you have two natures. I don't know, Brother Mike, I don't know what's in the seven pillars, but I went to AA and NA and everything else. When I was coming up as a teenager, I was forced to go to that stuff. And first thing they always said to me is, you got to admit you got a problem.
Amen.
I remember that. And folks, you got to admit that you have a flesh nature and a new nature. And you need to admit that thing.
Amen.
It's just that simple. You need to understand that you got an old man and a new man, and they're both bucking each other day after day. And that's when a decision is going to come into play. Look what Jesus said next. Sell whatsoever thou hast. I'm going to liken that to whatever's hindering you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Get rid of it.
Amen.
He said, go your way. Sell whatsoever thou hast. I'm not going to tell you to do that. If God leads you to do it, man, but that's kind of, you know, I'm not telling you to sell everything you got and give it to the poor. But whatever's hindering you from walking right with God, get rid of it.
Amen.
Admit what it is. Find out what it is and get rid of it. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. After you've gotten rid of or tried and asked the Lord to help you get rid of whatever's hindering you, Go out and do something for somebody else.
Amen.
These men go to nursing homes. And if you just show your face in a nursing home and stand there and sing a hymn in the nursing home for those people, I guarantee you'll get a blessing more than you'll bless them. I promise you, you will. I always go into that, come out of that nursing home more humble than when I went in. And likewise, some kind of hospital or any other thing you try to go minister to somebody, you're going to come away more blessed than when you went in. It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? I'm telling you, you get way more satisfaction when you give yourself for someone else.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus did. Amen. Sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And look what's last. He said, and come, take up thy cross and follow me. Paul said this best. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 real quick and we're going to be finished. Philippians chapter 2. And I guarantee a lot of you folks know this passage, but this is our example.
Amen.
This is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our example. If you're having a hard time with your carnal mind and you're lacking some of those things and you realize it, and you want to change, see, a person's got to want to change too.
Right, amen.
And you want to change, check this out. Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Pay attention to that. Your reputation means nothing.
That's right.
It's who cares what you've done and where you've been. Who cares? Jesus made himself of no reputation. The Lord of glory came to this earth as humble as he did. And too many Christians walk around thinking there's something. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. What we read earlier says, if you humble yourself, the Lord will lift you up. He humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. How do you do that? You just need to deny yourself some things, folks. Start obeying God.
Amen.
If you lack some of those things, if you lack some of those things to talk about tonight, and you want to change, God will help you.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. It ain't just all bash, bash, bash. God will help you if you want the help. But unfortunately, like the Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Too many Christians, too many lost people would rather live in the filth than live in the light. And God have mercy. Let's pray. And Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. And I pray that you help every person in here. Help me, Lord. Help me. I stand in the need of prayer, Father. I've lacked so many things, God, in this life. I've lacked submitting to you. I've lacked all these things, Lord, that I've talked about tonight. And Lord, I don't want to be slack in your promise. I don't want to be slack, and I want to please you, Lord. And I want these folks to be pleasing to you. And I love my church, Lord. And I pray for everybody in here.
Amen.
That you please help them.
Amen.
Please help them to have that desire to want to serve you. And whatever it takes, Lord, I pray that you get a hold of our hearts and help us to serve you with love in all our hearts. Amen. Now, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I just want to ask you folks something.